now your life.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'd like to call the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. The time is 1 p.m. And the first item on our agenda is, or second item is roll call.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Keene. Or Speaker Pratt.
Present.
And Congresswoman Reward.
Here. Thank you, Shanna. The next item on our agenda is prayer. I've asked Congresswoman Shaw to say a prayer for this afternoon.
Thank you, Second Speaker. Everyone, please bow your heads with me. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today with somewhat heavy hearts, Lord. We know that this virus continues to affect our families and our folks, Lord. We just ask that you please keep them safe, keep all of us safe as we move through these times of uncertainty. And I know folks are worried. Some are sick. Some are in mourning. Lord, just please protect us and help us to find peace and to stay healthy and take care of each other, Lord. We ask that you be present at this meeting today as we do the business of the nation, and we thank you for everything that you give us and the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congresswoman Shaw. The next item is the approval of minutes, which were attached to the invite. Those are dated November 18th, 2021.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to approve the minutes of November 18, 2021 is presented.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. Thank you. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay. Thank you, committee. I appreciate that. The next item on our agenda is the discussion of payables. In your packet, you see we have two different invoices that need to be approved because they're over my my limit as second speaker. And so I'm presenting those to the committee for approval at this time.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll make a motion to approve for payment the invoice from Barrow and Grimm dated November 30th, 2021 from account number 12027. And no, I'll do separate. I guess I'll do separate ones. I'm sorry. That's my motion. Thank you.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. A motion and second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Okay, we have one. Abstain. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, board. Are we ready for the next motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve for payment the invoice for Barrow and Grimm dated December 31st, 2021, statement number 607-871.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Abstain.
Okay. All right. Thank you, committee. Those were the only payables that we had for this meeting. The next agenda item is an overview.
Chair, this is the clerk.
Yes, ma'am.
We would generally do payables and travel together, and Speaker Pratt has travel that exceeds your, would potentially exceed your authority to approve. So I don't know if you want to do that at this point in time or if you would like to wait.
Let's see. I think I received an email. Was that an email that went out to the committee?
I will forward it on to the committee now. I failed to do that this morning, but you and Speaker have it. She can speak to what the travel concerns.
Okay. Speaker, you want to talk about the travel, and we'll wait for the invoice or the info to get to us. I think it
sure.
Says.
What's that?
Okay. Go ahead. I'm just sorry. That's Osage Congress, but maybe that's the PDF. But go ahead, Speaker.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't pay attention to whether it had been sent out to everyone either. But yes, so this is the 2022 National Congress of American Indians winter executive session. And of course, it always takes place in Washington, D.C. And so it's to travel there in February. I spoke with one of the members that works with the Veterans Committee or staff members that stated that they're having an executive meeting this afternoon, and we would know by close of business, or I would know by close of business today, whether they have made the final decision to have it virtually. As you may know, that the last year and a half, all National Congress of American Indians conferences have been held virtually. But this is an opportunity, and they like to have these in person because it's an opportunity to, you know, advocate on the Hill and, you know, meet with, have those types of meetings and have direct communication with those in key places, you know, that can help tribes. And so I do not know at this time, though, if it would be virtual. So I would request an approval at this time for the amount up to that. I think that I'm also waiting on, that's a pretty good rate for the hotel, though. They found a good, Caitlin found a good hotel rate. However, I have put in a request because there's the host hotel, I believe, for the conference. And so the question is could the rate be even cheaper? So, you know, but it's probably not going to be a whole lot cheaper because that's a good rate. So I would request that the amount be approved for up to that amount. Of course, we would look for any discounts that we could get. And then also, I may not even need it for the hotel and travel and all that stuff. By the end of the day, I would know because they may switch it to virtual anyways. So just looking for or approval for my attendance.
Okay. Thank you, Speaker. And I'm showing that we do have an amount budgeted travel. So the motion, I guess, would be for the amount of the that you guys can see on the travel.
It would be the total authorization amount, Chair.
Okay. And I'm seeing an amount, correct me if I'm wrong, for $1,685.11.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking for a motion from the committee to approve $1,685.11 for Speaker Pratt to attend the NCAI Executive Council Winter Session Conference in Washington, D.C.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay, thank you. All right, thank you, Clerk, for bringing that to our attention. And then, Speaker, I know, just whatever they decide, you know, I know everybody's kind of up in the air right now about it, holding their event. So thank you
right.
for letting us.
Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. I just got that information in from a staffer out of NCAI. And so I was not aware of that. And I have not spoken to the clerks again this afternoon to let them know that. So I would just also request that they actually not begin on anything until they hear from me later today or in the morning. That way we don't start making plans that we would have to cancel.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Speaker, for giving us that. All the information you just provided, appreciate that. The next item on our agenda would be item number 6, which is the overview of our FY21 and 22 financials that I'd like our budget analyst to go over. I had requested that we look at those since we're past our first quarter in FY22, and I was just curious as to where we are as far as our budget and things of that nature. So I'd like to turn it over to Jordan at this time.
Good afternoon, committee. Can you hear me okay? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So at the close of fiscal year 21, there were $286,685.10 in unobligated funds from Congress's budget, which means about 15% of what had been appropriated remained unspent at the end of the fiscal year. Expenditures exceeded the budgeted amount in one line that was occupancy. And when I reviewed the records that accounting sent me, I asked for the past few fiscal years. It looks like that's happened in 2019, 2020, and 2021. Occupancy covers two costs for Congress, space cost and our property insurance. Neither the second speaker nor any legislative staff have any part in the approval process for those expenditures. It's just automatically taken out of our occupancy line by accounting. When we didn't know that it was exceeding it. Like when we looked last year at the FY20 financials at the close of the fiscal year, they were unaudited, but it didn't show that we were it had a negative balance in that line. So we didn't know to adjust for it in fiscal year 21 or when we were budgeting in fiscal year 22. But after seeing that, we looked at fiscal year 22's rate, space cost rate, and it looks like we're on track to go over on space cost again this year. So it's not going to be by very much, I don't think. So we could, Treasury could just do a budget modification and we're good. I don't think we need to amend the budget. I think we'll be okay. But that was the only area of concern that I saw in the financials. I don't know if you guys got the little memo I sent out in the packet, but it covers the financials. If you look on page 2 of the memo I sent out, you can see what was budgeted, the actual, the remaining, and we did pretty good. And then you can see OFPR's FY21 financials as well on page 3 of that memo. They had 76% of their budget left unspent because it went unstaffed for most of the fiscal year. FY22's financials, when I looked at ours, at August's, I don't know what these numbers are. It shows that we budgeted $5.4 million. That's not even close to what we had budgeted. That's way high. We had budgeted $1.9 million. So I don't know what these numbers are. I'm going to get with Julia and work through this and figure out what is going on when they pulled this report, because it has the correct program number and the correct time frame, and the numbers are just way off. And then OFPR it's also high, and it shows that something came out of wages. And I reached out to accounting about that, and they said that maybe another employee has their wages split between two programs, and they're getting part of it from OFPR, and they're looking into that for me as well. So the FY22 financials, I'm sorry, I don't have better information on that. But we're so early in the fiscal year, I haven't noticed anything of concern when I looked at them in Microy, except for occupancy. So I think we're doing okay in FY22 as well. And that's really okay.
Jordan, I have a couple of questions for you on the occupancy for 21. Will we have to do a budget mod?
I think Treasury does that, and I think they could just line item shift some money out of, like, maybe professional fees or one of the other lines. And it won't be more than probably a couple $1,000s that they'll have to shift. It won't be a huge change or anything, and I don't think Congress is going to have to take any action in that regard.
Okay, so how do they get notified to do that? Would that be something that I would have to do, or would you do that?
I'll talk to Tyler about it. And I've never had to do that in the past, but I'll get with Tyler about it and see what he says. But it won't, I don't think it will require legislative action.
Okay, Trey, go ahead.
All it requires is just a motion by the Congressional Affairs Committee to authorize the change. And then you send that request to the Treasurer's office and they make the modification for us, since it won't require official congressional action. It just requires approval from the CA committee.
Okay, thank you, Trey. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and I fully agree with what Mr. Gill just stated, because I just want, I guess I just want to kind of reply to Jordan's statements that there needs to be some sort of action from the Congress, that the Treasury shouldn't just make those changes on their own. That whether, should it not be legislative action, that's fine, but there definitely needs to be, as Mr. Gill said, a memo and authorization from this body. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
If CA does want to take action, I would recommend holding off until later in the fiscal year. The property occupancy line will be enough at this rate to cover space cost, but it won't be enough to cover the property insurance. That's not negotiated or set until July. And so we won't know actually how much we owe on property insurance until actually August. So if the CA committee is holding a meeting later on this fiscal year around that time, I'll get with Danielle Cass, because she's the person who handles the insurance, and figure out what that rate is at that time. And then they could move the appropriate funds over if you wanted to hold off.
And but you're talking about FY22.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So with regards to FY21, then I guess I'm looking for action from the committee to do a budget mod. I know that they have, it's allowed up to 3,000. I think in the Budget Process Act, I believe to do line item shifting. But yeah. I would agree. I would like to have some type of in from CA that says that we're given permission to do the line item shifting or the budget modification. I don't know how a committee member would like to use that in their verbiage, but that's what I would prefer, is that we're giving permission, because something that Jordan and I have been discussing is that, okay, so for those of you that have worked for executive in a capacity where you have approval of your budget and payables, there's some internal expenses that go on, like occupancy, insurance, IDC, phone charges, the renting, I hate to say it like that, I don't know how you say it, of your copiers, your Cisco phone system. Those are done internally through Treasury. But as far as being over here in the legislative branch, I do not have the ability to approve those internal expenses because they're never sent to us. And so I don't see those until we review the financials. Well, that's kind of been an issue, right? Because we're not able to see our monthly financials or even quarterly. So I'm glad that Jordan was able to access these so that we could review them, because it's really important for me that we review what we've appropriated and where we are. So I just wanted to let you know that for those that don't understand, that's kind of what happens. They have internal expenses that they do within the Treasury that I do not authorize. And so occupancy is one of those. So that's kind of why I'd like to have the CA committee, someone make a motion to address the overage.
Chair.
Second speaker, Trey.
Yes, Trey.
I'm a little confused. Are you talking about FY 2021 funds and doing a line item shift in FY 2021 funds?
Yes, that was what the original question was like, do we need to do anything with the FY21 to get this cleaned up? So we close, you know, you have until December, they close out. And this is our first meeting in January. And so typically you get this all cleaned up by the end of December. That's the way it used to be. I don't know what it is. I don't know how they're operating at this point. But I would prefer not to have an overage, and I'd prefer to do a line item shift or a budget mod to get it cleaned up.
Okay, thank you.
So, Chair?
Yes.
Yes.
Never mind.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? If not, then can I get some action to get this taken care of?
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll be happy to do it. I'm not sure if you want the it to say budget modification or how you'd like that worded. I'll be happy to present the motion to do it. I'd like to know how what you wanted to say to make sure that it's clear to everyone involved.
Well, I think to me it would be a line item yes, action. That's the way that I would word it. That's so what I will do, this is my intent, is to take the minutes after we approve them in our next meeting, and I will send them to the controller after that based off of the minutes. So I would say it would be a line item shift. So occupancy is, I thought that was a non-admin, but I guess it is an admin expense. So if you look at the memo number 2 that Jordan has provided to us, we could do a line item, you know, move out of rental and equipment maintenance to cover that because we have enough available. If you'd like to do it that way, I guess I would also lean on the committee or Congress on how you guys address this beforehand. Before.
Second speaker, this is Trey.
Yes, Trey.
I don't recall the committee ever going back and doing line item shifts for a previous fiscal year. So this might be a first, and the clerk might remember something that I don't, but I certainly don't recall that. But if you intend to do so, it would be a simple motion. If you intend to take it out of equipment maintenance, it would be just that the committee moves to authorize, or that an individual member moves to authorize the committee to do a line item shift from equipment maintenance to occupancy.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Congressman Potts, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I can confirm what legal counsel has said. I don't recall that we've ever gone back to correct the end of a fiscal year outside of potentially doing it within the 60 or 90 days after the close of the fiscal year. That being said, we've also, I know Speaker Pratt, myself, we were both involved and interested in receiving a change in the calculation of our space cost, which was our occupancy, regarding the move from the building top of the hill to the bank building. To my knowledge, we've never received that change in our space cost allocation and what we should be budgeting on an annual basis. So to answer your question, I don't think we've ever gone back to correct the end of a fiscal year, but to also speak to another problem, we've never been told what we need to be charging per square foot for the new facility that we're in as of 2018, I believe, is when we went to the bank building for a few weeks. So a little bit of an answer and a little bit of another problem there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Congressman Potts. Also, I think the budget analysts, and we've been asking for that same information in preparing the budgets.
Madam
Chair. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead, Jordan.
When we created these budgets, we used the figures that either matched or exceeded what accounting requested. So for FY21, they requested that we budget $26,670 to occupancy. And we budgeted $31,750 to occupancy, which was $5,080 more than they requested. And then they billed us obviously above what they initially requested we budget for it. And then this year, they requested that we budget $30,000 for space cost and $1,750 for property insurance, but they're billing us at a rate that the space cost alone is going to deplete that and then won't leave us anything for property insurance. So we're using the rate that they send us. We don't know if it's, I don't think it's the correct rate for the square footage. I've discussed that with them as well, and it should be higher for the square footage, I guess. But we've been using the rates that they request. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I sure. think the is it speaker, is that you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the same. So even when, I mean, I agree that you don't really get that information, which is an issue too, because like, for instance, I recall going up and the Hominy Village requesting me to attend with them. I think Jordan, I'll take you with me. We went up because their insurance, they were kind of like, there's no way we spent that, you know, $50,000 in the last whatever. And so when we got to the bottom of it, their insurance had gone up, but no one had notified anyone. So I guess there's those instances where we don't receive that information or changes of any notification or changes.
Speaker, I don't know if you remember. So it used to be where they would send the director that business, and you would sign off on them, or you'd go literally to accounting to sign off on those types of expenses. So that hasn't been or I haven't been notified to ever do that since I've been second speaker. And I don't know how Congresswoman Stabler, if she ever had the opportunity to do so. And I will be asking them, what is that process? Because I don't know what it is now. We've had different controllers, and so I don't know what the process is for that. But I would prefer that I have the authority to approve that expense so that we can forecast this before we get to this point. And so I'm agreeing with you. I just,
yeah. So I do remember those days, right? I do remember those days, which is why I was mentioned a minute ago, like, well, I mean, you know, it used to be, even if it was a $200 budget modification. Okay. So even if we're going at a higher amount now, you know, then still it's, even if it was 3,000, well, you know, definitely on the 50,000s or something, you got to be, there has to be some communication or notification. So yeah, we need to
get Chair, that. This is the clerk.
Yes, ma'am.
The process that you were describing as far as being notified of changes that needed to be made and you would have to go sign them as a director, the last second speaker that I remember having to go sign payables at accounting that had to do with occupancy and those type things was former Congressman Hamilton. I don't think we've had a second speaker since then, unless Congresswoman Goodfox had to do that after Congressman Hamilton, but I know Congressman Hamilton did.
Okay, I never thank did. You. Well, I will find out, because I just don't. I don't like that we're being charged for expenses without authorization. Number one, and secondly, just like Congressman Potts mentioned, I think that we're not really certain about space cost and what the rate is. And if you notice on Jordan's memo, we budget for a certain amount, but the actual is always different. So I don't know if that's because of the space cost rate fluctuating or insurance. But I'll look into it, and I don't mean to get into the weeds, but it's just something that I think that we could make make it a lot better, especially if I understood it. I could give you guys better information, because personally, I do not like having any numbers with brackets around it, because it means that we are not managing our money properly. So it's a personal thing for me as to why, as second speaker, I'd like to use this meeting to have a motion to get this cleaned up, because we have the money available. And then I'll make notes, and that way whoever becomes second speaker next time, they would know why is it that we did this, and I can explain. I just don't like the way it looks. It looks as though we're not able to manage our budget properly, and I don't want that under a second speaker. I don't want that. So I know it's only $1,243, but I don't like to over budget in any line item. So if somebody would make a motion, I would appreciate it.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman Shaw.
It's okay, I defer.
Okay, go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That kind of gets back to my question of, can you do a budget modification or a line item shift outside of the 60 or 90 day window from the close of the end of the fiscal year? We've never done that in the past because we've been told that's not possible. The fiscal year has ended, those books are closed, and your brackets show brackets. We spent more than was allowed, and that's a problem in itself. I don't know that we can go back and do a line item shift for a previous fiscal year outside of the window that is allowed by professional auditing standards.
Okay, I hear you. I don't know that they're the ones that are designating the deadline. I'm not for sure. I can't say whether it's the auditors or Treasury. But for that purpose, if we are allowed to, because Tyler's not on the call, I'd rather be covered to say that we're doing so. And if he says, okay, it's too late, then I can be like, okay. But I don't want to wait until February to come back to say, oh, I've been granted permission. So if that's okay, I'd rather handle it now. But I do know that typically they don't close out till the end of December. The problem is we haven't met. We weren't aware of this. It's January. I get it. I just like to get it cleaned up and move on so we can talk about FY22 a little bit more.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
So, our legal counsel stated, you know, we've never done that before, because I don't ever know that this has come up before. So I would like legal counsel to say whether or not this is advisable, because again, we haven't gone there and it seems off. I would but I do want there to be some sort of, I don't know, documentation, I guess, of, you know, what happened there and how was it addressed. So I would be more apt to stating Treasury needs to figure out what they did, why, how, when, whatever, and then get us a memo of that's what happened so that it's documented. So I would like to hear what legal counsel, or I mean, what you all think as members, or what legal counsel would advise.
Okay, I hear you. And I think that Jordan's been talking to the controller for some answers. We just haven't received any answers at this time.
Right.
But, I get it. I understand that this is something that maybe hasn't been done in the past. I get that. That's why I said, as second speaker, I prefer that something is done, and I agree with you, Speaker. I'd like to have something that says we've looked at this as a committee. We've looked at it. That's why I put it on the agenda. If we close out in the end of this January, we are reviewing what FY21 with our financials. And so that's why it's here. And I agree. I would like something, whether I don't know how we would do it.
Yeah. That's even something by motion, something that it's been reviewed, discussed, and we're awaiting.
Yes, ma'am.
Confirmation. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Trey.
I just wanted to weigh in real quick. The speaker asked me to. I don't have any information at this point. I would have to do some research to find out. I don't know of anything in Osage law that necessarily prohibits this, but I also don't know of anything that specifically authorizes, you know, such a line item shift for a previous fiscal year. All of our language and our legislation talks about, you know, encumbering funds up to a certain point, but you know, a limit on line item shifting would really be more of an accounting and auditing issue that I'd have to look into.
Okay, Chair. Chairwoman, second speaker.
Yes.
So what about, I would just say for now, because there's a lot we don't know, I would say, you know, a mere, like, let the records reflect that we discuss this, because we don't know if we authorize it. I mean, I guess. I mean, it's been done, but let's figure out a little more before we make a motion to authorize it. So, or post authorize it. So, I would just like for the records to reflect that we've discussed. Was it the budget of line item shift regarding whatever the line item is? Jordan helped me with that, and that we are the budget analysts and second speaker will follow up with the controller and awaiting further information.
If that was a motion, I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. A motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Thank you, Speaker. I think needs to mute their phone. Thank you. It's like I hear a puppy. Okay. Thank you guys for taking the time, and thank you, Jordan, for talking about FY21. And I don't know that anybody has any questions on the FY21 OFPR. I think Jordan went over that. Do you have any questions on the FY22 besides, you know, Jordan is seeking answers about the amount, 5.4 million that's reflecting in our budget. That doesn't jive with our legislation. So we can put this back on the agenda at our next meeting so that we can get some really good answers answer. Yes, sir.
I've heard back from our accountant on why it appears some wages and fringe came out of OFPR's budget in FY22. She said that the former chief audit officer's PTO was paid out in October, which put the expense in FY22. So that's why OFPR shows wages and fringe coming out this fiscal year.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. That would make sense then. Thank you. So then the other questions would be about the amount showing in our budgeted column that differs from our legislation. Any other questions from the committee or Congress on our financials?
Chairwoman?
Yes,
I
ma'am.
I apologize. I'm not looking at the agenda, so I don't know what's up, but I'm getting a phone call a few times from another Congress member. I need to step away for a moment to return their call.
Okay, so then that would leave, we would still have a quorum, correct, Clerk?
Yes, ma'am. I'll be right back.
Thank you. All right. Congresswoman Lemon, did I hear you? Or was that speaker?
Not intentionally, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, if there's no questions on the FY22, then we can move on to item number 7. Quickly, I think Congressman Walker was wanting to listen or participate in the chief audit officer position, and he was attending another meeting, so he may be able to jump back on. I don't see him right now. So if you guys want, we could move down to item number 10, if that's okay with the committee, and then we can come back up. Is that all right?
Works for me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, guys. All right. So let's go to item number 10, which is the inauguration planning for the 2022 event. So as you know, CA gave approval for Congresswoman Shaw and I to work with the executive branch to start planning the inauguration. And so Kaihika has delegated chief of staff, Jason Zahn, and then Alicia has been attending along with Shanna and Jordan. We've also reached out to the judicial branch. Gina Redigal will be helping us along. And the reason we invited them was, of course, that we'll be the chief justices will be involved with the inauguration. And also, I think Jason sent an invite to someone from the Minerals Council to sit with us. And right now we have secured the location to be at the Tulsa Casino. And of course, keeping in mind, you know, the variant and things are like that, I think at our next meeting, which is next week, we'll also be, you know, trying to talk about a plan B just in case things are shut down or not shut down, but we need to kind of have a plan B in place just for safety precautions. So we had, I think, we've received our menus from the casino. So we just received them. We haven't looked over the menu. We've talked about having a guest speaker and someone to moderate or MC the event. We've talked, I think, anything else, Congresswoman Shaw, that you could think to update?
We did talk about the head singer, and that person has been secured and has agreed to act as the head singer. Mr. Scott George will take care of those duties and was happy to have been asked. So that's done. And I think everything else, you're right on point. We do have our meeting next week. And we may even consider having it at the casino so we can take a tour and kind of get a look at the floor plan and that kind of thing. But no, I believe you are correct on your status.
Okay, thank you. We have, of course, we have enough money to cover our piece of the expenses for the legislative branch. And then I believe the executive branch will be submitting requesting an appropriation for their piece of it. So do you guys have any questions for us regarding the inauguration?
Madam Second Speaker, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't have any questions. Just keep up the good work, and I appreciate the information, and I appreciate the update, y'all. I really do. It's exciting, the Tulsa Casino. So, good job.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. Okay, well, we appreciate you guys letting us talk about it for sure. It's exciting, and I'm excited to be able to do this and work with everybody to plan a good event. So, and you know that we'll try to stay within our budget. So, once we get the cost together, and that's what we're trying to secure, are the costs, and we'll present that back to the committee as well. So, Congressman Walker, you're on the call. Can we quickly, are you guys okay if we go to item 11? And then that way we can go back to 7 and 8 so that we can go in executive session to discuss the chief audit officer and then our personnel matters. Is that okay with the committee? Because we have some folks on the call that will be able to answer questions on 11, and I don't want to go in executive session and ask them to wait. And is that okay with everybody?
Chair, that's fine with me.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, committee. All right. So let's move to item 11, which is the legislative building, our HVAC and remediation update. We had some other things we wanted to talk about, and I've asked the clerk to speak to this matter because she's kind of our POC on this. So, Shan, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay. I'll hand it over to you, ma'am.
Okay. Second Speaker Rivard initially asked me to provide an update concerning the progress on the remediation of the congressional chambers and basically the First National Bank building, because the remediation pretty much involves the entire building, as well as an update on the HVAC system and issues that we've had and other issues that have gone on within the building. So I initially reached out to Mr. Johnson because I wasn't sure where we stood, and he reported to me that the HVAC system and the water supply lines that will be interrupted potentially in the bank building will not affect the staff side of our building, but the chambers are going to be affected, and that is tentatively going to begin February 7th. He expressed that it's going to take approximately 120 days for completion. And then after that, there's going to be additional work toward remediation that involves sealing the exterior of the building from moisture to inhibit growth of mold within the building. And that's also a 120-day contract, which would be due to be completed by June 1st. And there were a couple of other issues concerns that I had as far as heat and electricity within the building, mainly not necessarily because I think Congress is going to be back in the building with the remediation still continuing, but because of the bathrooms that are in that building. And the concern of whether or not the water lines need to have some sort of heat there, or if we need to winterize the lines for the time that the electricity will be out, if that's going to occur. I've heard rumors both ways, so I'm not really sure. And I'm still awaiting a response concerning that. And I see he's on the call, so he may have the answers that we're looking for where that's concerned. Another issue that we had had to do with a sewer line, and they are in the process of looking into hiring a plumber to make the repair that is going to be necessary for it. And we don't have a timeline on that at this point in time, but that's what I know concerning the remediation and the HVAC. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Clerk. Casey, is there anything that you'd like to offer at this time?
So the one deal that Shannon was talking about, as far as the water repair and hiring a plumber, right now the temporary fix is holding. The plumber is going to come in and perform a permanent fix. So right now, as it stands, it's okay as of today, and we're working on getting those folks in there to make that fix permanent. I understand Shannon's concern about the pipes and all of that, which we should. It's my understanding that Oklahoma Chiller will have essentially this, and I'm not sure what, you know, what they look like, but they have these little heating units that they'll put in different areas on lower settings to try to alleviate any pipe freezing problems and things like that. So that's, she pretty much briefed everything that we briefed y'all on. So, you know, unless you have any other questions.
Okay, thank you, Casey. Committee, are you guys okay with the update, or do you have any questions? Okay, if not, thank you, Casey, for joining the call. And I think Jalen and Ed are also on the call.
I can add Jody once more.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Shanna, for updating us on everything. And I appreciate that. So if the committee is okay, then we'll move back up to item number 7, which is a status update on the chief audit officer position. And
Chair,
yes,
I could have swore I just heard Mr. Zahn say, "I got more, Jody, if you want some more." Is that true? Is that what happened?
Is that what you said?
I was like, "I'll hear some more."
Okay, I'm sorry, Ed. I thought you said you didn't have any more.
My voice is hoarse and I mumbled, so yeah, I probably didn't have. Yeah, I thought I can add a little bit to the remediation part. We did a antimicrobial treatment in October when that killed everything that was there at that time. I'm going to go in with simultaneously with the HVAC guys and do the work downstairs in the congressional offices. And then once all that stuff is shored up inside, and they're going to seal the outside of the building, and that's something we mentioned a minute ago. But we're also going to do another antimicrobial treatment after everything is put back together and the building is sealed up, which would kill everything in there at that time.
Okay, thank you. Speaker, anybody else have any questions for Ed or Casey?
Do we get credit?
Yeah, do we get occupancy credit, Casey, on this? Since we're not occupying the building?
What? I haven't even thought about that, second speaker, honestly. I don't see why not.
I don't either. I have one more question, second speaker.
Go ahead. Go ahead, speaker.
So like Shanna said, it was like, you know, I kind of hear this or I hear that. I don't think we've received anything in writing. I know we've mentioned the termite damage because I don't know what took place in my office, but the carpet is like molded up now too. So I don't know what took place during whatever, but then when the movie folks left, they did not put that built-in desk back along that wall in my office because of the termite damage. So, and we have termites on the, in the middle of the building on the same side as that wall of my office as well in the past. So I've heard that Casey has said that there's no termites. So do we have anything confirming that? And that, and if not, then I would just like to, follow. Can we follow up on that? Because like the damage, you could still see it, and the other, the window side is rotted. That little wood there. So can we just have a little bit of follow up on that? And if somebody knows for a fact there's not, that we're not experiencing, can we please get that, you know, confirmation?
This is Ed. I spoke to the contractor, and the termite damage was past damage. No current living termites in the building, and that is what they're going to repair when they go in under this contract. And you can fix that, like repair the, you know, the windows, the wall, and repair all that stuff. Tear it out.
Okay. So that'll be part of all this coming.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. So for reals, Casey, if you decide to give credit to Space Cost with us and maybe the other folks, the other programs in the building, just let us know if you would consider that, please.
Yes, ma'am, sure will.
Okay, thank you. Okay, guys, committee, can we go back then to item number 7? And then, Casey, I think you guys are done if you want to jump off. I don't think that you guys would have any reason to be on for number 7 or 8, but thank you for joining the call.
Thanks for having us, and sorry it's taken so long, but, you know, this thing moves like an aircraft carrier, so... Have a good weekend.
Okay. You too.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's see. Item number 7 is a status update on the chief audit officer position. So as you know, we have just an update for folks listening. We have interviewed 2 Osages. That was last Friday. And so I would like to be able to discuss those interviewees, but I'd like to do that in executive session. If somebody would make a motion, please.
Motion to enter executive session.
Oh, sorry.
For the purpose of discussing the OFPR office.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a
Chair,
second.
This is the clerk.
Yes, clerk.
Are there additional personnel matters you're going to discuss in executive session?
Yes, there is.
There are. All right. We'll add that to my motion, please. OPR office applicants and personnel matters. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you. Clerk, let us know when you're ready, ma'am.